So we get to church and we walk in and, you know, everybody was friendly. We sat down in church and I'm looking for the pastor, and the pastor wasn't there. He was ill. And so this Canadian missionary was filling in for him, okay? So we walk up to this missionary, and you know, this Independent Fundamental Baptist missionary, whatever. We walk up to this Canadian missionary, and, hi, how you doing? You know, we introduce ourselves to him. We really friendly to him, told him who we were. And my wife said to him, she said, this is my dad sitting over here. And I won him to the Lord 2 years ago. He got saved. And his kids here, they're not saved. And she said, I'm a little bit rusty on my Hungarian. And my wife actually spoke nothing but Hungarian until she was 8 years old. But it's amazing how you forget things when you don't use them. And so her Hungarian was rusty. And she said, I just don't think I could, you know, go through the whole gospel and everything. I don't really know all the terms. You know, maybe you could get his kids saved. Maybe you could give them the gospel and try and get them saved right now while they're here. And the guy just, he looked at us like we had two heads. I'm not even kidding. I mean, he looked at us like, huh? And she's like, my dad, he got saved 2 years ago. And the guy's looking at us like, he's like, wait a minute, I'm confused. Who is this? This is your dad? And she's like, yeah, that's my dad. You know, I just told you. And the guy's English was perfect. I mean, he was from Canada. I know they talk funny, but English is their first language, okay? So, and she said, this is my dad. I won him to the Lord. Can you give the gospel to the kids? And he's, I mean, he just didn't even know what to do. He didn't even know what we were talking about. Because, and I figured out later why he didn't know what we were talking about. But I'll get to that in a minute. Why he was so confused about this story that we're telling him. And so he starts telling us how, oh, well, you know, there's this, have you ever heard of the Alpha program? I'm like, no. Oh, you know, it's this 10-week program, and if they're interested, we can follow up on them. And I'm thinking, like, what are you talking about? I'm just trying to get these people saved, trying to give them the gospel. And so we sit down for the church service. You know, I'm looking for a hymnal. There wasn't one. They projected it up on the wall, okay? And they projected up on the wall, and it was this kind of gooey, I mean, it was just a piano, and there's a girl behind the piano, the girl song leader, okay, was behind the piano, and it was this kind of, you know, this genre of music of like, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You know, it was just this really touchy, and they're showing images on the screen of like a sandy beach, and like, running waterfalls, and the words they sung. I'm just like, I didn't even sing it. I'm just like, fold my arms and sit back and thinking like, good night. This is the garbage that I was singing like 15 years ago when I used to go to Christian school and non-denominational Christian school singing all these liberal praise worship songs. So we go through all the songs, a woman song leader, then all the women in the church are praying one after the other. Just praying out loud. You know, I'm sorry, but my Bible says that a woman's supposed to keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. Amen. And so I was just sitting there, and you know, all these women are praying one after another. I'm just like, whatever. So this missionary comes up. And by the way, before the service, my wife, after that debacle about her dad, okay, the missionary, my wife says, oh, so you're preaching today? And he's like, well, you know, I'm running the service. He doesn't even want to say he's preaching. And this guy was a sissy. Oh, he was really tall. Like, he was much taller than me, but he was a sissy. When he prayed like this. You know, like he put his hands together like this and put it in front of his mouth. My wife told me the only person she's ever seen pray like that was this child molesting Catholic priest in her town when she was growing up. And he literally was a child molester. And so man, I wish I knew that Canadian missionary's name, because I'd call it right now. I didn't catch his name. You're going to have to forgive me. But anyway, where was I in the story? So the Canadian missionary comes up and he kneels down next to my chair. And this guy's Hungarian was perfect. I mean, this guy had been there, you could tell. He'd been in the country for decades. He was probably in his 50s, and you could tell he'd been there for decades because his Hungarian was perfect. And we asked him, sir, are you a pastor? Pastor church? No. He's just a missionary. He just kind of floats around, you know, doing this. He's just filling in today, doing this, doing that. So he comes up and kneels down next to my chair. Okay. And he says, Brother Anderson, would you like to come up and say a few words and, you know, greet the church and tell us a little bit about yourself, just whatever God lays on your heart? I said, sure, of course, absolutely. So, you know, I told my wife, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get up and preach something, you know. So I get up about 5 minutes later. He says, Brother Anderson, come on up here. So I get up there. And I, you know, said a few things in Hungarian to break the ice. I said, I'm Pastor Steve Anderson. This is my wife. These are my kids. And I explained who we were. I said, you know, I started a church in Phoenix, Arizona 2 years ago. And I said, man, and I knew I was up there to make a point, obviously. But you say, oh, why are you like that? Well, look, I don't get up and just flap my gums. I mean, if I'm going to talk, I have something to say. And so I got up and said, I said, you know how I started my church? And by the way, he's got a woman translating for me. Okay. You know, I don't understand why he couldn't translate. The guy's Hungarian was perfect. But anyway, he's got a woman translating for me. I said, you know how I started my church? By knocking on doors and just preaching the gospel, soul winning, going door to door, giving out the gospel. And I said, you better know I wasn't handing out flyers or tracts or invitations. I said, man, I was out preaching the gospel to get people saved, giving the gospel to everybody who'd listen. And I was talking about all the people that we have saved out soul winning, and the members of our church go out soul winning, and we go out and get people saved, talk about getting people baptized and everything like that. And I was quoting some verses from the Bible about, you know, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. And I only talked for about, you know, 5-7 minutes. I just packed in all this stuff. And this missionary is just looking at me like I'm insane. And the woman who was translating looked at me like she didn't even want to translate what I was saying. She was like, should I even be translating this? Literally. And so I was confused. I thought, am I saying something weird? Am I saying something wrong? And so the missionary, then he pipes up. You know, I'm up in front of everybody, you know, giving my spiel. And the missionary pipes up. He says, wait a minute, I'm confused. He said, you talked about all these bunches of people getting saved. And then I told him about, you know, what the size of our church was now. And he said, I'm confused because a minute ago you said it was this size and now you're saying it's this size. I said, no, I said, that's how many people we got saved, you know. And he's like, well, where are all those people? They don't go to your church. And I said, well, no. I said, a lot of them go to liberal churches. I said, they go to some liberal church somewhere. And I said, and some of them don't go to church anywhere. Because guess what? You don't have, and the girl didn't even want to translate this. I said, because you don't have to go to church to be saved. You just have to believe on Jesus Christ to be saved. And the girl was like laughing and didn't want to translate it. Because I said, you didn't have to go to church in order to be saved. That's why he was confused. Because he looks over at her dad's got, you know, her dad's got long hair, right? He hasn't been in church. How did he get saved 2 years ago? I mean, this is the way these people's mentality was. And so the guy is just perplexed by that. And he's like, well, you know, did the people you baptize, I mean, do they go to church at least? And I said, well, some of them do and some of them don't. And I said, some of them go to other churches, like just liberal church in the area. He's like, well, but do they continue in those churches? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I put a GPS on everybody I've ever won the Lord. And I make sure, did you go to your liberal church this morning? Were you down there? How do I know whether they've been going to church? You know what I mean? And so I went and sat down and just thought to myself, unbelievable, what are we doing here? Well, then the missionary gets up. First he had some woman give some 15-minute testimony. Then he gets up and says, okay, this is what I'm going to talk about this morning. He didn't even use the word preach. We're going to talk about faith. Faith is what I'm talking about. And how, like, faith must have works. Okay, and he's talking about salvation. How it takes faith and works for salvation. So at this point, I'm like, that's it. I'm not going to stay here. Because at first, there were things that I didn't like about the church, but I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe her dad can come here and at least learn something. You know, this is his town, whatever. But he starts preaching faith plus works, literally. I mean, he's going to James chapter 2 and Romans 4, showing how you must have works. So I said, get me out of here. So I start to get up, and I motioned to her dad and his kids. I said, hey, we're out of here. So we start to get up and leave, and the missionary says, oh, are you leaving now? And I said, yeah. And I started talking. My wife, like, put her hand on my mouth, literally. My wife put her hand on my mouth. She's like, don't say anything. So I didn't say anything, you know. So we walk out. Don't worry, I'm not that submissive of a husband. You haven't gotten to the end of the story yet. Sit tight. So she puts her hand on my mouth and says, don't say anything. Okay, you know. So we get everybody out of the foyer. And when we're out in the foyer, I said, is it because it's a small town? I mean, does your dad know these people? Is he going to have to face these people or something? You don't want me to embarrass? And she's like, well, no, I mean, he doesn't know any of these people. I said, okay, well, I'm going back in. So I sent them out to the car. I walked in. I pushed open the door to the auditorium where the service was going on. I said, you know what? And this is exactly what I said verbatim, you know. I said, you know what? I said, I should have known that I was in the wrong place when I walked, and this is verbatim, I said, I should have known that I was in the wrong place, and half the people there spoke English. Half of them knew English. I said, I should have known I was in the wrong place when I walked in, and we tried to tell you about getting her dad saved, and we tried to tell you about, we wanted these kids to hear the gospel. I said, you didn't even know what the hell we were talking about. You don't even know what soul winning is. I said, you think people have to go to church in order to be saved. I said, I'm sick and saddened and depressed to think that this is the only church that these people have in this town to go to. And the guy's like, whew. Didn't even know what to say. Yeah, he just froze. He said, get me out of here. So I walked out and one of his members comes chasing after me. Wait a minute, wait, you know, and he spoke a little bit of English. He said, what was that all about? What's the problem? You know, what is the deal? And I told him, I said, look, I said, this guy's not preaching the gospel. He's a liar. And I said, what? I said, tell. And he goes, no, I think you just misunderstood. And I've heard that my whole life. I remember going to church, and the pastor would get up and preach heresy. My dad used to go into the office of the pastor and say, why did you say that? What are you talking? Oh, I that's not what I meant. I just don't think that's what he meant. Well, no. They mean it, trust me. So I told the guy, I said, okay, well then tell me right now. What does a person have to do to be saved? And he's like, well, you got to believe on Jesus. You got to be baptized. Okay, this is what the guy told me. He said, you must be baptized. And this, that. I said, wrong. I said, you need to get saved. I said, it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. By grace alone, through faith alone, to God alone be the glory. And I said, hey, you're wrong. And I said, and he's a liar and he's wrong. Oh, wait, what do you believe? I said, well, there's just faith. He's like, you're right, that is enough, just faith. I'm like, are you just telling me anything to get me to come back or something? Well, it's a misunderstanding. He's misunderstanding. I said, it's not a misunderstanding. I said, I've known people like him my whole life. And I apologized profusely to her dad. I said, look, I said, listen, I said, I'm really sorry. I thought that, you know, this church came recommended to us, highly recommended. We thought it was going to be one thing. I said, I just wanted you to know this is not what we're like. And I said, these people might as well be. I said, if you want this kind of a church to her dad, I said, just go to a Roman Catholic church. You know, they'll teach you the same thing. You got to work your way to heaven. But do you not comprehend? Do you not understand that that's the Baptist church in that town? It's not the worst one or the best one, or it's the church. I mean, do you comprehend that? Who is going to give the gospel to those people? How are they going to hear the gospel? And I'm sorry, but I'm starting to wonder about the guy over in Budapest. Why is he palling around with these kind of people that are heretics? They're the cause of Christ. They don't believe the Bible. And this is what I said when we got in the car and we went and butchered a pig. You know, we went and got in the car. We went over after church. We went to a farm and we slaughtered and butchered a pig. And so you say, oh, that's gory. Well, you know, do you like to eat pork? Do you like to eat sausages? I mean, you got to do it somehow. And so we got out of there, and this is what I quoted to my wife. I got in the car, and I quoted this verse. I said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell as yourselves. That's the truth. And and that's probably what, if you ask him how many proselytes he had this year, it's probably one. One. Oh, but it's so worth it for that one person. Hey, look, there's a lot of ones in America, my friend. But you know, the country of Hungary is not a one. It's a 10 million. It's not one. And they make one proselyte, but the problem is he's not even saved, because I talked to him out in the foyer, and he was one of their newest converts, they said. Several months ago, he got saved. He was their one for the year. And you know what? He said it's got to be baptism saves. Now, do you believe that he was saved? If he thinks you must be baptized in order to go to heaven, he's not saved. And it's a tragedy. So I tried to give him the gospel. He didn't care. He just wanted to defend his church, and that's fine with me. He can go there and die there and be buried there. But it's a tragic thing that there's 10 million people in Hungary, a nation that by and large is going to hell.